mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, but they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Lent, my brothers and sisters, is a time of fasting. Our desire for the last 40 days was to bring our bodies into submission to our will, right? To sort of train ourselves, to discipline ourselves, to live not by bread alone, but to live by rather what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we intensify our struggle then against the flesh and against the devil and the sin that they try to seduce us to. Because no one ever got any stronger. The devil was never overcome by doing what the flesh wants us to do, right? Successful armies and athletes are those who know discipline and they know self-control and restraint. And in this discipline of our bodies for 40 days, what have we seen? Well, we have seen just how weak our bodies and our wills truly are. We know that already, but it's good to be reminded every year of that. Maybe we've given up meat, maybe we've given up sugar and all sweets and chocolate and the like I have. And the lust of the flesh for just these few things, right? Not even that very many things, just these few things has shown us very clearly that if the whole law was expected of us, what would happen? We would be condemned forever. Fasting always shows us how desperately we need a Savior and how we can't do it by ourselves. It points us directly to Jesus and to his holy cross. And so the fast of Lent is over. And the feast of the resurrection, the dawn from on high, has broken upon us. And Easter is a time of feasting. Time of feasting. Why? Because Jesus lives. Death is dead. And because he lives, so too do we. Death is done. It is finished. It is gone. Its power over us is just a fading, distant memory.
Sin is forgiven. Creation is remade by the Word of God incarnate, now crucified and now risen. All of the rules have been broken by God. Death is dead. Right? A dead man lives. He came victorious out of the grave. That is not natural according to the way of things in this life. So it doesn't matter then if you kept the fast or you didn't. It doesn't matter what awful sins you've committed in your life. It does not matter how faithful or how unfaithful you might have been. A new order, a new reality has been thrust down onto this earth by the Son of God. Jesus lives. Praise be to God. It is now the time to feast. And so let no one now fast. Let not our heads hang low in sorrow over our sins any longer. Jesus lives. Death is dead and undone, and with it so are our sins. They have no ultimate power over us any longer. And God, for the sake of his Son, is actually pleased with us, with sinners. And the body which was our one-time enemy is now redeemed and restored. Its joys are cleansed and sanctified. Eat, drink, and be merry. Laugh and rejoice and praise God even in the midst of death. For Jesus lives and it has no control over us. The devil and our old sinful nature are overcome. They are no longer master over us. And our effort, or our lack of it, matters not in the eyes of the Lord. Because, sons and daughters of God, in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ reigns. Not your sins, not the darkness of this world, not Satan. Jesus Christ reigns. All those things, all those deeds, all those works that you've done that you secretly want other people to see you do, all those things that you think you have to accomplish to please and accomplish God in order to satisfy and satiate God, don't matter at all because Jesus lives and reigns. He's risen from the dead, not from our fasting or our discipline, not for our patience and our submission to the law. Because this victory that he gives to us has come not to the strong, it has come to the weak. It has come not to the disciplined, but to the lazy. It's come not to the saints, but to sinners. And it's his victory that makes us more than conquerors. His victory makes us to stand triumphant with him, right beside the Son of God, forever. Jesus lives not because of our sadness. It's not like our sorrow pulled him out of the grave. But he lives for his perfect love for you. For God would have you as his own. He would not let Satan nor any of the demons have you forever. He has seized us away from them, as though we were his pearl of great price. That is God's justice, right? That is what we look at and behold and marvel in, and in our worst moments we think that it's not fair, even. That sinners get to go away free, no matter what. Sinners return to the Lord. That's the way, because of God's Son, that he operates concerning you. That those who do not deserve life come through the hell of Holy Week, who even cry out for the blood of God to be on them and their children. Those same ones, my brothers and sisters, they get exactly what they pray for, and his blood is on us forever. Because as we heard on Maundy Thursday, life is in the blood. The life of God is in the blood. And praise be to God that that blood covers us totally. Those who have worked for themselves only death are joined to Jesus Christ and his resurrected life through holy baptism and faith forever. Because Jesus lives, the rules are all broken. Camels walk through the eyes of needles. Rich men go to heaven. Sinners are made holy. And they now get to stand in the presence of the Holy Trinity. I mean, just ponder that. You get to stand as priest before the Most High God and come to him with all of your cares, all of your concerns. Hateful and rebellious sons are declared holy and pleasing to God without any effort or payment of their own. Jesus lives, and today we feast in forgiveness and grace. And in this feast, we do not seek moderation, do we? We ought not anyway. We seek no self-control. Because the Lord our God has made us to be this way. And he is generous and extravagant in everything that he gives to us. Our cups are filled to the brim. Indeed, they are even overflowing in a flood of mercy. He forgives more sins than we've committed, more sins than we could ever commit. He has crushed our enemy, Satan, under his nail-pierced feet and ended the terror of demons forever. There is no limit to his mercy. Don't you ever forget that. He's made our cemeteries into bedrooms and into holy ground, into gardens even, because these are the places where the resurrected bodies of those that he's claimed as his own will be raised at the last day and come to him. Because you see, heaven, my brothers and sisters, is not some sort of ethereal, shadowy existence somewhere far away off in the distance. Heaven is lived in the body forever. The same bodies that you bear now, but glorified just like Jesus' body is glorified. And there's no prerequisite. There's no charges, no hidden fees, like you see in infomercials in the middle of the night. No background checks, and no pedigrees needed. Pre-existing conditions have no effect on the coverage that you get from the blood of God poured out on you. Today we have been brought out of bondage in a great and mighty exodus. Today we are led out through the gates of hell on dry ground. Today the seal of the grave has been broken. The dawn of a new creation, God's new creation, breaks forth after a long dark night. And all the sons and daughters of Adam are brothers and sisters once again. All debts forgiven. All failures forgotten. We pray and sing together with one voice the common language of praise to the Holy Trinity. And we are given once again that which we lost so long ago in the garden. We are given once again the beautiful image of our God to bear in these bodies that we have. You see, that with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, all rules are indeed broken. You and I, who have wrought only darkness, we are the who have ridden the water and the blood in the holy ark of the church, and have come to a temple that is made without hands, to a cornerstone once rejected, but now risen and radiant, holy and perfect, even our bridegroom and our friend Jesus. Today is the day of joy, the day of our soul's most perfect repose. For God is good, and his mercy endures forever. And he was slain that we might live. Jesus, our Jesus, Lord of life, Savior, and King, our Jesus lives. And nothing will ever be the same. Death is dead, and life himself lives and rules over creation. And he lives, my brothers and sisters, for you. And so God's people cry out this day with unsurpassed joy, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And amen.